What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Smoking Tire Podcast. You know, up first, a couple of you guys, after I moved the ads up front to improve the listening experience, have decided that you'd be really smart and put the length of the ads in the comments so that people could easily skip them. You know who reads those? Our advertisers, and they don't like it. And so if you keep doing that and acting stupid, I'm going to put the ads back in the middle of the show. And I know people don't want me to break from the action in the middle of the show to have ads, but if you can't respect the process enough to not tell people in the comments how to go around the ads, that's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to make it a worse listening experience just to spite you all, because the ad money matters. So, in that sense, let's talk about StockX. If you love analog cars, there's a good chance you love mechanical watches as well. We got style, performance, and practicality at the center of car and watch culture alike. Our choice for each says something about us, who we are, and what matters to us. Well, I like to think it does at least. And when I'm buying a watch, I like to take ownership of the experience as much as I can. That's why I love StockX. StockX is the world's first online stock market of things for high-demand consumer products, including sneakers, watches, and handbags. StockX connects buyers and sellers using the same methodology as the world's stock markets, an anonymous live bid-ask market. All products are physically authenticated by StockX, allowing participants to focus on the transparency of data available, including real-time market pricing, in-depth market analysis, individual portfolio tracking, historical sales, and volume metrics. That means no stressing about shady buyers and sellers, no lengthy descriptions, and no blurry pictures to decipher. All watches are in excellent or better condition. All you have to worry about is finding the watch you want and placing a bid you feel comfortable with. StockX makes buying and selling watches online a lot better. Trust me, give it a try yourself at StockX.com/smoking. That's StockX.com/smoking. How about Auto Tempest? You remember them? They are back. That's right. Auto Tempest makes your life easier, right? I spend a lot of time browsing online classified ads for cars. Sometimes I'm looking to buy. Most of the time I'm just checking out the market, but I always like to know what is what, and I don't like doing double work. Auto Tempest searches all the top car listing sites in one place. Sites like Cars.com, eBay Motors, CarSoup, Cars Direct, and many more, plus many individual dealers and private sellers. You can then compare with results from Auto Trader and all of Craigslist nationwide, not just local 200 miles around your city. Nationwide, folks. So you can find the exact car you want for the best price without wasting a ton of your time browsing around to all these different sites. You know what? Auto Tempest has been really good to us over the last couple of years. We love them. I use them for sure when I'm checking out cars, and you should too. Don't do double work. Just go to autotempest.com and search all the key spots with one click. Autotempest.com. Now, when you're working on a car, you don't like surprises. I don't like surprises because I don't work on cars, but I don't like getting that phone call from the mechanic who found a surprise. And things that you don't think about, how about your belts and your hoses? They dry rot, they crack, especially in dry places like California. Check out Continental Belts. They are OE in tens of millions of Chrysler, Dodge, Ford, and GM vehicles that roll off the assembly line. They're also original equipment on the majority of BMWs and Volkswagens. Now, Continental is launching the aftermarket multi-V belt with the OE pedigree. It's their OE technology series, belts that are fanatically engineered for perfect fit, form, and function. And Continental has an OE technology series multi-V belt for 98% of the vehicles on the road in the US and Canada. You get enough surprises working on cars and trucks, a rotted belt shouldn't be one of them. Go with the Continental OE Technology Series Multi-V Belt, the belt with the OE pedigree. To get the full story, visit OETechnologyseries.com. That's OETechnologyseries.com. On this week, I'm catching up with an old friend of mine who I see at all the Grid Life events and Time Attack stuff. She is a racer. She is addicted to her Subaru and is really very knowledgeable about all things Subaru and racing. She set a record at Road Atlanta this year in her class. She's just one of my favorite people to see around the paddock at a race. She's so fun, got a great personality. I love hanging out with her. Sally McNulty is on the program today, and I hope you guys enjoy it. it. The Smoking Tire Podcast. Let's go.
Motherfucking Smoking Tire Podcast. That's how you start it. Just Smoking Tire Podcast. Here we is, Saturday morning. This Sally McNulty. Ugh, you know, here's how cool you are, Sally. You got me to do a fucking show on a Saturday, bro. Do you know how hard that is to get me to do a show on a Saturday?
I have
it's
no
real
idea.
Hard.
I'm sorry.
I tell everybody no, but I love you, so you get get Saturday priority.
Aw, thanks.
That's welcome. Awesome. Welcome to the studio. Awesome. Thank you for coming down, man.
I'm super pumped. I'm super pumped.
Before we get started on this here shit, follow me on Instagram. That's the thing. Here's Sally right here. I do, you know, if you want to see where I'm at in more or less real time, Instagram is the place. And you can follow Snail Performance Sally on Instagram as well. That's how you follow her. Yay.
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 That's me.
So, where are you from, Sal?
I am from Rolla, Missouri.
Rolla, Missouri?
Yeah.
Is that the same as Rolla, North Carolina?
No.
Is it spelled the same?
How do you spell R-O-L-L-A.
Oh, Rolla.
Rolla.
I thought it was like one of those French
looking?
Southern pronunciations.
Yeah, I know, right?
But no, it's quite literal.
No, Rolla. Well, it looks like Rolla, but yeah.
Like rock and Rolla?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, totally. All right.
Like really small town, like 14,000 people.
Small. Yeah.
Small.
You got the fuck out?
I left.
Yeah. When did you leave?
I'd say maybe when I was like 2008.
How old are you?
We're not talking about that.
Oh, really?
Don't ask about girls about their age.
Bro, you can't possibly be old enough that you care about your age.
I do care about my age.
Are you not even, you're not even over 30, are you?
We're just going to leave that alone.
Jesus, I didn't realize it was this going to be this like proper fucking show. Well, if you're over 30, you look great.
If that is the case.
But I don't want to press the issue, but damn. All right. I thought in like 2018 like that it was okay to ask a woman her age if she's young. I wouldn't ask like someone who looks like in their 60s how old they were.
How old are you?
I don't know. I was just trying to find out where you're from, son.
I'm just giving you a hard time.
No shit. For a Saturday morning, I'm feeling a little pressured right now. I feel like I got in late as fuck last night. I'm trying to get my bearings back and do a show. Oof.
Anyway. I moved. Started doing like track day type stuff.
Uh-huh.
Did like a global time attack event in 2013 and moved to Phoenix. So that's where I've been for the last 5 years.
How's Phoenix?
Phoenix is great. I love that place.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's a little hot.
No shit.
It's a little hot.
Yeah, but you get the fuck out of there in the summer, right? Don't you bail in July and August? Isn't that how it works?
Yeah, I spent a lot of time on the East Coast this year.
Yeah. I only see you on the East Coast.
I know. That's I didn't what actually. Says.
The fact that you live on the West Coast is very funny to me because I only see you on the East Coast.
I know, right?
Like, there's a bunch of people, though. LA, I don't know about Phoenix, but LA is like that. Like, I see my friends from New York more than I see my friends that live in downtown LA.
That is totally true.
Right?
That's totally true. I saw a lot of people that I actually live, like, Corey Hosford's girlfriend.
Yeah, yeah.
They live in Phoenix, and yeah. I saw them at Gingerman, and I saw them at Road Atlanta.
Yeah.
But I don't ever see them in Phoenix.
I know. I see, like, all the the race service guys like Jacob and and all those Forsberg and Turk, like they live around the corner from me now. I never see them ever.
Oh, that's really funny.
Except I'm on the other side of the country, like a grid life.
You're
it's
like,
so crazy.
Oh, hey, I'll see you. Oh, hey, friends. Yeah. I'll see you on the internet. That's where I see you.
Yeah, right. Well, that's, you know, fucking social media makes it so easy to like not to like to like just be in touch with somebody.
Right.
Like just. It's a struggle sometimes.
It's almost like you see them every day, but you don't
it's
see them every day.
It's almost like, yeah. It's like, oh, you look like you're having fun on Instagram.
Right.
When in reality, you're dying inside. That's how I feel sometimes.
It's that little meme of that little dog sitting in like the fiery room and it says, I'm fine.
Yeah. No, dude, Instagram is like a fucked up place because you get this super edited version of everyone else's life and you're like, I don't feel so good right now. Why is everyone else so perfect?
Everybody's having a great time, and I'm over here sad.
And I do the same thing, and people expect that of me. You know, I post a picture of me in a fucking Lambo in Portugal, and people are all like, how are you not the fucking cheeriest person in the world? It's like, well, because I'm a human with feelings.
I'm a human with feelings.
You know. So anyway, back to fucking life. For those of you doing it live with us, if you want to get in the super chat, Sally is a time attack racing driver who knows all the ins and outs of her Subaru.
Yes.
Yeah. No.
I've had it for a while.
You've had it for a while. Yeah. Your car is like the evolving Dude, you know,
7 years.
Right? You bought? Did you buy that fucking thing brand new?
I bought it used.
Uh huh. Wait, where? Let me find a picture of it. Hang on.
Oh yeah, I'm sure you can find it.
No, oh, here it is. Here it is.
Oh yeah, that's my.
Here it is. I bring it. If we talk about something, we can put it in the show because it's a video show, right?
Yeah. Oh man.
Is that a Hawkeye? It is, right? Yes. It's like a 07.
I'm pretty impressed by that.
What? Did I know what a Hawkeye is?
Well, yeah, because not everybody, like, not a Subaru people may not know that.
Oh,
so.
Fucking, I know all the Subarus.
Oh,
all
right.
I've driven every Subaru
I know,
ever.
You don't want to drive any more Subarus
I know, because
anymore.
You know
told
what?
Me that.
Because they're all the same. It doesn't matter what you do to them. They're all the same.
Mine's not the same.
Yours is faster. You know, yours is fucking fast, but I bet if I drove yours, it would feel like a Subaru.
Oh, you're probably right. But I will have to say is that, like, I work with a shop called IAG Performance, mm-hmm. and literally they have torn my car apart and here's did them. Things that I don't think I've ever seen anybody do before.
Really?
And my car
wow,
is like
look at this,
90
look at this
difference.
Fucking motor.
Dude, look
good
at that.
Lord. That's a nice looking, look at that intake manifold.
Dude,
done.
That's
Jesus.
That's a billet block.
That's fucking rad. What does a billet block go for? In one
I don't
of those?
Know. Probably a lot.
That's that looks expensive.
Probably more than my pay grade.
Wait, so you started with a stock 07 STI. Right?
No, it's a WRX.
Oh, it's a WRX?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I didn't realize
like,
this
okay,
is a WRX.
We were, okay. People are always like, oh, why didn't you buy the STI? Because I was stupid. Just buy
yeah. It. Buy the, you should, oh, that's a good tip. You should always start with the best one you can
don't,
afford.
I thought, oh, it's a WRX. It can't be like, what's, you know, I didn't want to pay the extra $10,000. Oh, they're like the same.
How
right?
much did it cost you to get that extra 10 grand out of the
I'm car? A complete idiot. Like,
I have been there.
So 100. For all of you Subaru people who want to buy a car, just get the STI.
Just buy the that goes all the way across the board. Like if you
yeah.
if you're into BMWs and you think you might want to build a track car, start with a fucking M3.
Don't be
you know what I mean? Because it'll cost you so much money to get to that oh. point anyway, and it's like you could have just been there already.
Right? Because I like literally took the whole car and I tore it apart and put all STI stuff on it. I'm like,
you go,
and literally, you know, everything goes at like premium price.
Yeah.
So like, I probably spent like triple.
Yeah.
Well, probably more than that because
it's very
like,
frustrating.
Because it's always you know. It's break, race, repeat.
Yeah,
or race,
with Subaru,
break, repeat.
With Subarus.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. Yeah.
But,
who was that? Oh, what was that lovely other girl I met at Grid Life? Divine? Wasn't that her name? Divine?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. She's
yeah,
Subaru.
Yeah, and she fucking blew her motor
with
sky
Devin.
High. Oh, Devin. Oh, but no, her like, Instagram. This is Instagram. Her Instagram
people
is Divine. Yeah, and it's Devin. I'm sorry, Devin, that I just called you Divine. You're not a porn star at all. But your Instagram is, I think it's Divine Force Racing or something.
Yes,
and,
yes, yes, yes.
And it fucked me up. Fucking Instagram. God damn it.
People know me as Snail Performance Sally.
I know,
that's my real name.
Is Snail your first name? Your first name is Snail.
Snail Performance and Sally.
Yes, okay, so you start with this WRX, and now it's like a full fucking race car.
And you know what's funny? It's a street class.
Which, okay, how does the, what are the classes? It's street mod is the class or something like that? All wheel drive street mod?
Street mod.
Yeah.
So you have to have a lot of, you know, the car has to be registered. Well, I guess there's street and then there's street mod. If you're Global Time Attack, it's street class. Mm-hmm. If you do Grid Life, it's street mod. But they're very, very similar. There's uh-huh. not a whole lot of differences. I mean, the car has to be like licensed and registered and
okay.
insured.
Okay.
So like all my car is licensed and registered. I have to go take it to emissions.
Yeah.
You have to have a full interior from like the B pillar forward.
So a full dashboard.
Full dash. Uh-huh. I have to have a working blower motor. I have to have a radio.
You
it
do
has
not.
To work.
Do you have to have air conditioning?
Don't have to have AC, but the blower motor has to
okay.
turn on and it has to.
And you have
in.
To have a working radio.
Working
with,
radio
with speakers.
With speakers.
Okay.
And
then you
do have I turned that radio on? Probably not, but it's there.
Is it the stock radio? You actually put a radio in it.
When I bought the car, somebody had put like a little head unit
oh,
in it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, it doesn't even have like a CD player. It's I couldn't even tell you how to work it, honestly. But
that's funny. Okay, yeah. So full stock dash, blower motor, radio.
Carpet.
That's probably
you have
nice.
To have,
bare metal floors suck.
Yes.
Carpet doesn't weigh any. Carpet weighs like 2 pounds. Who cares?
It really doesn't do anything.
The first thing when I bought my Mustang, I took all the fucking carpet out of the back.
That's probably gross.
Instantly regretted it. And I was like, because that carpet, like, it got rid of so many rattles.
Oh, in the glare.
And I mean, it weighed nothing. Oh,
dude,
the glare.
In the back?
Yeah.
So, like, since I have a street class car, we're able to gut from the B-pillar, like, to the back.
Uh-huh.
And I took the package tray out.
Yeah.
In the back. You know, that little, like,
the shelf that's behind where the rear seats would be?
It's all metal back there. So you get out there and the sun's beating down. All you do is get blinded
oh,
in your rear
God.
View. I'm, like, putting that thing back in there.
Yeah, it weighs, like, 4 ounces.
Yeah,
like, just fucking leave it. And yeah, the worst mod you can do is like take out the headliner in a car because it weighs like a pound.
It doesn't weigh
and
much at
especially,
all.
See, you have lovely hair.
No, thanks.
I've driven a few cars that have no headliner.
Oh,
and
you
I have
burn
no
your
hair,
head?
And I've gotten burns on my head from not having a fucking headliner in the car. And they go, well, I saved 7 grams.
Maybe
taking this
3 seconds faster.
So
sure
dumb. Leave your headliners in.
Leave
people.
Your headliners
Yeah, it's crazy. All right, so this, you didn't just wake up one day and build this.
Oh, gosh, no.
So you got this car, presumably before you even went to your first track day, right?
No, actually.
Okay.
No.
Tell me the story of getting into cars.
Way back.
Because you're not just into cars. Like, you have an entire fucking arm of car tattoos. I see pistons.
That was like, but this has been.
There's a V8, but is that a V8 on a cupcake?
Yes.
It's a V8 on a, show this to the camera. Wait, hold on. There's a V8 on a cupcake.
Yes.
There's a couple guns.
I've got pistons.
Pistols and pistons.
I'm
brass knuckles.
Brass knuckles.
You have more than one brass knuckles tattoo?
Yeah.
You have one on each? You have three brass knuckles
these
tattoos?
These may have been a bad move. Mm. I mean, mm-hmm. We all make decisions when you're young.
100%. You want to say, look, I'll show you. Look. Here's an unk I got when I was 17. It looks great, doesn't it? That is the worst tattoo ever.
We all
have
decisions.
Them. Yep.
That we may not like thought of like.
Why the brass knuckles?
I used to be into a lot of pinup girl stuff. I used to really love that stuff, and I liked hot rods, and I still do.
Yeah.
But that's not really a road course.
It could be.
It could be.
You could get into like Optima Ultimate Street Car shit and run like a 46 Ford with a Art Morrison chassis.
I've always wanted a Nova. So like that's like, I don't know. I would love to build one.
Yeah.
But my race car takes all my money. So
I can imagine. That. What's that saying? I used to be rich and now I have a race car.
Yeah. I don't think I used to be rich either.
Well, I did. And then I built a car and now I have no money left. Fucking hell.
So go back to that. So I worked at a dealership and I had a Cobalt. Mm-hmm. And I always liked cars.
Was it an SS or a regular Cobalt?
No, it was a regular Cobalt.
Fine automobile, I must say.
Oh man, it's like I worked in the parts and service department and I oh yeah, now you gotta look this up. Oh,
I don't have to look up, just get a picture of a Cobalt. This awful silver one.
It was silver too.
Oh god.
It did have
a very sad looking car, isn't it?
It had a little small wing on the back. So
that's cute. Do you know what I learned like last week on this show? I shit you not. GM sold that car in Japan as a Toyota.
What?
Yeah. It wasn't the Cobalt. It was the Cavalier.
Oh.
Which was the one before this
one. I had one of those too.
Yeah, look. If you... Dude, a Toyota...
So bad.
Dude, this... I can't spell. This is a real thing. This
yes
is a Toyota. This is a Toyota Cavalier.
No way.
Look at the nose. What? That's real. It's a 2000 Toyota. And look, here's the JDM RHD. I learned this like 2 weeks ago.
If
my
you
mind
ever
was,
wanna make
my
your,
mind was fucking blown.
You want a JDM USDM car? There you go.
If someone wanted to overpay for the dumbest car ever, call up Sean Morris and ask him to import you a right-hand drive Toyota Cavalier. There's a dude I know who has like the biggest collection of like shitboxes and oddball cars, and he would Myron Vernis, you would love one of these, buddy. Have a water, by the way, if you want. These are for you, not just me. Okay, so you had this Cobalt,
all right,
which we can acknowledge is terrible.
Oh, it was absolutely horrendous.
And you're working at a parts counter for what kind of dealer?
I worked at like a GM dealer.
Oh, okay.
And I had a friend, and he was like, he had a little Mini Cooper, and he did like track days.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, hey, Sally, you should go to a track day with me. He's like, you're into this stuff. You just don't have a car, but you're into this stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what the heck's a track day? I'm from a small town. There's no tracks there.
Yeah, what was the nearest track day to Rolla?
Probably like Gateway, but I don't even know if that was a track there. Like, nobody's really heard of. I mean, Gateway wasn't. I mean, just Formula Drift just went there this year.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Like,
that's kind of a new track, isn't it? New-ish?
Yeah, I was going the wrong reason. I don't all know. Right. So, like, he's like, you should go to a track day with me. So I did. I signed up for a track day,
mm-hmm.
and I had a ton of fun. I was absolutely horrible. I had no idea what I was doing. They didn't have like HPDE day. It was just
open.
Just go
track.
And drive your car. And so I did.
Trial by fire.
I was awful. I have no idea what I was doing.
Oh, dude. my first track day ever, I was like in a Cobalt SS, actually.
Oh, hey, there you go.
Yeah, and I was like front wheel drive understeering burnouts and thinking I was doing good. It was, if I am so embarrassed at it now, that the fact of what I was doing, I still cringe at it.
You just got to start somewhere.
Of course.
Yeah. So I had a really good time. Mm-hmm. I signed up again. Mm-hmm. And I think I went a few times with that car. And then I realized that this car stinks.
Yeah.
And that didn't take me long to figure that out, because I was like, you know, I was really, really adamant and wanting to like just do better, just to do better.
Yeah.
And I was,
were you
like
taking lessons or just sort of like figuring it out?
I was like asking friends.
Okay.
Like, hey, how did you take this line, or how do you go around this corner? Because like my car, I don't feel like I'm going very fast. I didn't know what the world, how to like mention it, or like how to like describe.
I don't feel like I'm going very fast. How much horsepower do you have? 90. Oh. Yeah.
How fast I can pedal. So
don't worry about that.
Okay.
I'm just checking the stream while I have to produce and listen at the same time. I'm so split brain activities over here. Totally, I apologize.
So
you realize your Cobalt is terrible.
It is terrible. So I actually traded in and I got a Cobalt SS.
Oh, nice. Used
one.
So, supercharged, yes. Or turbocharged?
Supercharged.
Okay, the first one, yeah.
And I actually started getting decently quick. I did some modifications to it, but there's not a whole lot of mods out there for a Cobalt SS. Mm-hmm. Not gonna lie. Like, I did like the whole like smaller pulley and all that stuff, and it made like 300 horsepower to like the wheels. It's
kind of a lot.
For a small car.
The funny thing about those Cobalts is they were kind of pretty good powertrains in like a total shitbox package.
Dude, that car, not one problem.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a wasted powertrain, because they're actually pretty fast.
They are. Yeah. And, you know, I would, you know, looking back at like how I used to do stuff, and I was like, how did that thing even run? Like, it was terrible. Like, that was like the worst car maintenance ever.
Yeah, if you can treat a car like garbage and it doesn't break, that's pretty good. A pretty good car.
That was pretty much what I did.
Yeah.
I got decently quick, and then I signed it up for NASA. Mm-hmm. And I started doing like, I did like HPD 3 and 4 and yada yada, and then I did time trial and I got decently quick with it, and then I just started noticing like I was running out of things to do on the car, because there's really nothing out there.
Yeah, you kind of hit a wall with the mods. Yeah,
right. It's like, well this is not going anywhere.
Yeah, before we get to that, do you find that NASA time trial, I feel like a lot of people are intimidated by the words time attack.
Oh,
I find that a lot of people could make the jump
yes.
from track days to time attack.
I agree.
But don't, because they're afraid they won't do well, or they think they might have a crash and ruin their car, or did you have a hurdle to get over mentally to go from track day to racing for a time attack thing, or not really?
Yes. There's always a hurdle, because there's always somebody faster than you, and there's
for
always
sure.
something else that, you know, oh man, I've gone through that those brake pads aren't as working as well as I thought they would, or I've progressed and now I need some more like need like maybe more sway bar, or maybe I need some stiffer springs, or there's always something out there.
Mm-hmm.
But to be honest with you, you're not going to get any faster unless you sign up.
True.
If you want to do time attack and you've been doing like HPD days or like time trial days, I say sign up, like, because you're not going to know until you get out there and see time as like the best mod ever.
Totally. Driver mod.
Driver mod.
I love, here's your little Cobalt SS.
No, dude, it was that one. It was red too.
It was red. I just guessed red. Your color, right? There it is.
It was red.
I fucking love instruction. I love driving instruction. Having someone better than me who can either do my data analysis or ride right seat or something is like my favorite thing ever.
I would, dude, all the time.
Yeah.
Please tell me where I'm messing up so I can go faster.
Yeah. Yeah. Good, like, driving. I feel like a lot of like macho people are think that that a driver instructor is actually trying to hold them back, when they actually are just like being overly aggressive and could go faster if they chilled a little bit.
Right. Like, yeah. Get rid of the ego, dude.
Right.
Like, chill out.
Yeah.
Because people like, yeah, oh, I can't take that. I'm like, no, please tell me. If I'm going slow here, like literally on the radio, we have a radio in my car, and some of my teammates will be on the radio, be like, trust the brakes. Yeah. Trust the brakes. Don't brake until I tell you to say brake. So I'm
like, on the front straight and not like when you get to the one.
Yeah, they're like, no, brake. It's like,
late braking is really
no,
that's like
I love
the
it.
Last kind of the last difference between a decent amateur and a pro, I think, is that late braking.
That late braking, just trust your car.
Yeah, I don't usually.
Well, it's hard if you don't have confidence in your car.
Yeah. I think for me personally, it's because I drive mostly street cars. And so you just, you know, if you do a couple of late breaks in a row, your brakes are gone. Yeah, there's it.
There's no more confidence left.
Yeah. With a race car, you can actually do that a few times and, you know, have it
then
be
you're
okay. Yeah.
That's what it's made to do.
Right. Okay, so anyway, you hit the wall with the Cobalt SS.
Yes, but then I saw all the people out there, of course, Subarus.
Right.
And you know how many mods are and different, like, things you can do with a Subaru. It's almost like endless.
That's a terrible picture. It almost is endless. You know, I actually had a Subaru back in the day.
I was gonna say, you must have.
I did. I had a Legacy GT.
I had one
back
too.
In the day, like a '98.
Okay, I didn't have that.
And it was when I was in high school. I'm not gonna torture people with the Legacy GT, but it's a terrible fucking picture. But and I hit the wall. This was pre-turbo Subarus in America. Ooh. So everything had the NA25, you know, that's still kind of trucking along today.
Yes.
And I hit the wall and I sold it and bought a Mustang because all my friends had Mustangs and the parts catalogs were like this. And it was like Summit Racing. I can get anything I need.
It's almost like endless the possibility.
Yeah. Now a WRX, you know, is that as well.
Yeah. So yeah. There's something for everything, and there's probably 10 of those things.
Right,
15 or 20.
And all problems have been solved already. Yeah. So you saw the opportunity of modification and took it.
And I was like, wow, I can really progress with this car. Previously, you hit a wall, and you're like, no. And of course, they sound cool. So that was always a good thing.
Unequal or equal? What do you prefer?
I like equaling. That's
equal
what
equal is thrummy?
It sounds like an Evo.
Wait, no. Which one makes it sound normal?
The rumble? Unequal.
Unequal is rumble, and equal makes it sound more normal.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, cool.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I love the rumble. I do love it, but performance-wise and...
Has it been defined which is better for power?
Equal length is way better.
Equal is way better
way
for power.
Better, yes.
What is, like, the difference if you were to have the same car and just change that? Do you know?
Spool up time. Uh-huh. All of those things are way better. The biggest thing is that whenever you do a lot of this stuff,
talk into the mic,
around
it. I know
I can't see you.
I know I'm sitting on the other side of the mic, so you want to look
like
around and talk to me.
Your head is like right
here.
I'm
so sorry. You just have to look right through
gonna,
it
like,
at me.
I'm just going to
pretend
this is you.
Lower it, and put the thing up. It'll be okay. If that's better, I'd rather you did that than had to move your head off the mic to talk to me.
I can't even like see who I'm talking to.
I know.
Oh no, no. That's,
oh
no,
boy,
I,
what do you?
It up.
Oh Jesus.
I'm good.
Okay. Don't touch it.
Nah. A large thing is why we did the header, which is, you know, a header all the way back, is because we had done a oil cooler. And when you do an oil cooler, you have like the sandwich plate and you have all those things, which if you had a stock header on there, you're sitting like millimeters away. So you're like burning your own oil, essentially.
Oh, yeah, that's a
so
good
we try
the
to,
hot air intake.
Yeah. Only you know the your blood of your engine is
your
just
oil
being
cooler
boiled.
Is actually an oil heater.
Yeah.
It's probably great in like the Arctic. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you're like up in Alaska in the winter, fuck yeah, put the oil cooler right next to your exhaust.
Yeah,
it'll warm
really
your engine up real nice.
Instant block heater for you.
Yeah.
But that's why they do it. Even more clearance because you are essentially just, you know, burning everything up.
Yeah.
So and that helps a lot. And I think it sounds fantastic. I love the noise. At first I hated it, but I really love it now.
I drove a JDM STI that had that great fucking 2 liter they've got over there in it.
Oh.
And it had the unequal. No, the equal. God damn it. I keep equal is the one that doesn't sound rumbly, right?
Right.
Okay. It had that.
Okay.
It was the best Subaru engine I've ever driven.
It's great.
It was nice.
It's great.
I liked the car better once I got rid of the rumble, even though I can appreciate when I hear one from a block away and go, well, that's an STI, you know.
It probably also had like the JDM gears in there, which is also key.
It was super rad. I drove it at GridLife Gingerman last year. It was awesome. The best WRX I've ever driven.
So like we just did the JDM gear set in my car.
Uh-huh.
So it has the stock like 1 through 4, but 5 and 6 are short gears.
Mm.
So literally it's like first, second, third, fourth, fourth, fourth.
Oh, like what's the drop from fourth to fifth to sixth? Like 500 RPM, like nothing?
Dude, it's just like rocket ship.
Doesn't a standard STI have like a crazy high theoretical top speed? Like in the 170s or something?
I think so, but like the gearing is not for road course. Like literally, I'll shift, if my old gear set, if I was in fourth and went to fifth, it was like, bah, and it, bah.
Like out of the power band, like turbo dies.
Yeah, well, yeah. That just bogs because it's such a long gear. So these short gears are fantastic, especially like the road, like the back straight of Road Atlanta. We hit like 155.
That's fucking moving.
And it was
and like, sixth at that point?
Oh yeah, I was at the top of sixth. Like I was like this far away from like red line.
That's rad.
The top, and I was like, I'm glad this straight isn't any longer. Yeah, they would just be like, bah, 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 bah.
Yeah, that's a that. Oh, when you hate hitting that rev, running out of gear.
Just a little bit more.
That what are you crossing the kink at Road Atlanta? Like in the high 140s, probably.
The kink.
Which... Yeah, like in the bend, like in the bend in that straightaway. Oh,
I don't know. I'm still planted. Like I don't brake until after the like the kink and down.
Yeah, you brake once you go off and then it lands and then you brake, right?
No, I'm the car is pointed down.
Right. I'm just saying, like if yeah, yeah. I think we were saying the same thing, and I didn't do a good job.
Okay, I pulled my data. Like I don't actually look down.
I don't expect you would.
Because like I have warnings for everything.
Just like a shift light and an oil light and a don't die
coolant
light.
And yeah. All that stuff. So if anything bad happens, it's gonna go bang, and then we'll look down.
Here's you at Road Atlanta.
Yeah. So I don't actually look down because there's really nothing I need to look at. There's no noises. We're doing fine.
Yeah, it's a good thing. Good
because philosophy. You're not focusing on what you need to be doing and going fast.
Yeah.
So we pulled my data, which is off AIM, my AIM solo, which I'm not sure how like right on that was because
those are pretty good.
They're pretty good. It's GPS, but, sometimes I think sometimes they get a little weird.
Yeah.
If it's
foggy or something out, it can be a little.
I don't know. It said 155, but my fastest time at Road Atlanta wasn't even. I didn't even go 155. I only did 150. So
it might be a little off.
No.
Wait. You mean your fastest lap was not the lap that you apparently had your fastest speed on the back straight?
Right. Because I actually was behind someone, and he went faster than me by like 6/10. Super great driver, but I was closing in on him pretty fast, and I lifted, and I was like, if I hadn't have lifted, I probably could have.
That's okay. You still got a trophy.
Dude.
And a class record, right?
Class record.
What was that last lap number? It's like a 33 or something?
I did a 33.6. I don't know. It's on my Instagram. I don't know.
That's
remember.
Dude, a 33 in a fucking Subaru is mobbing. Oh, here, 33.7.
And the sad thing is that I watched my video and I cringe in some areas. I'm like, I'm such a dingus. I should have gone faster.
Some people, it's weird how shit like that happens. Like some people have sent me, I guess Car and Driver just did a lightning lap. You know, where they bring all their cars to VIR.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a great track.
I think, I forget which was the fastest car. I think it might have been Performante, but whatever it was, someone sent me the video and went, this was like the fastest car they had. And like here, and here, he bangs the rev limiter. Like here, he's off the curb. Like this dude probably left, 3 seconds on the table or something. Yeah. And, I can't analyze someone else's driving from their video. I'm not going to be that guy because I wouldn't want someone doing it to me.
But I can do my own.
Oh yeah, your own. And
my own worst critic.
I totally understand the idea of being like, even when you get a fucking trophy and a record, you go,
Yes. Well, I was really wanting the overall street mod, which is only like 6/10 away.
Can I play this? Let me see.
Yeah,
what's
most
this?
Certainly.
Is this an in car?
This is my fast lap.
I hope this audio doesn't get all fucked up. Hang on. Is this your, we can't play YouTube videos on the show because of YouTube, but.
Really?
I don't know if we have audio here, but here's you coming down turn under the bridge through turn 12.
I'm still a little sketched out about 12 still.
12 is a gnarly, gnarly corner. But, are you lifting on the downhill there or you stay flat the whole way?
I'm about like 75%. I can't do 100% yet. I'm not that cool yet. Now,
some people do like,
backstory, this corner, I crashed right there last year.
Oh, I remember that. Turn one is gnarly if you don't get your braking right.
Dude.
How big are you cutting on three here? Oh, that's a pretty substantial cut. Mm-hmm. Some right tires in the air there.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Look at you working this, man. You're fucking mobbing this thing.
I could have gone faster. I see this and I'm just like,
Oh, would you want to analyze everywhere you went wrong in this
lab?
Dude,
I will see, like, that's the point. Like, I do all this and I want to push the car as hard as I possibly can.
You could have taken a little more on the exit there.
Exactly. No, it's exactly right.
What did I just say? I'm not going to analyze anyone's driving.
Like, I should have been on the throttle fast. Oh, you can go to the, there's like.
Is there another one?
Yeah.
What happened?
There you go. It's because Instagram.
Oh, they cut it off. Right. Minute. Okay. Yeah. There's turn six. Here's onto the back straight. Did you skip shift there?
No, I went to fourth.
Oh, that was a down. Okay.
That was like, I totally threw that corner away. I'm last time there too.
Oh, you're the worst driver ever, Sally. Look how much interior you have. How about that?
Yeah, I know.
Right? I also like your sharper image rear view mirror. You're like super wide rear view. That's quality.
Well, when you're short, you got to see everything. Well, yeah. In all honesty, because I'm a super JDM fanboy.
Oh, yeah. See, right when the car settles, that's in your brake. You're braking late at the end of that.
I try.
That's rad. Good for you. Not enough curbing on 10B, though.
You had to brake late, finish first.
Red flag, yellow line. Red flag, yellow line.
I know. I got to work on that.
No, you nailed it there. No, but you didn't go wide enough on the entry at 12.
No. See all these things that
all this time you left on the table. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I could have gone way faster. I could have done
Dude, you got a dope trophy. Good lap. It's always next year, right?
Well, see, you know, the whole reason me going there is because last year I hit the wall.
Yeah.
And that was I hurt my car, hurt my pride.
Did you hurt yourself?
I messed up my neck. Really? I still had problems with my neck.
Really?
Yeah. And it wasn't even, I mean, I hit the wall at 100.
What? You hit the wall at 100?
I saw my car. Well, I took corner one. I broke way too late. And I tried to, of course, Subaru, stayed on the throttle. I got too off in the dirt. I can stay, can you just stay straight, flat out, like just stay in it because, you know.
It's possible to recover that.
It's possible to recover. But on the other side of the rumbles, there's a large hole in the dirt.
Just like it after the curbs, it just drops
off.
Yeah,
and the car literally dipped down, came back up, and then whenever the car got in the air, the front end, I lifted. Then whenever it landed, it shot. Ugh. And so
I just felt neck pain from that.
So I saw it careening towards the wall. So I tried to do my best drift move. And I literally wall rode the wall on the passenger side.
Yeah.
But
on the inside wall or the outside wall?
The inside wall.
Oh, wow.
And so, the passenger side, on the taillight, rode the whole side. And then, but it hit the wheel and it literally, elbowed my lateral link. Oh, so, my wheel was like this and it just flipped the car right into the wall face first. I was like, oh, great. And but that was my whole reason for going back this year. Well, I love Grid Life, so I don't mind going back. Yeah. My biggest reason was I want to prove to Atlanta, you are nothing to me.
Yeah.
I'm past you.
I totally understand that.
So mentality. I had all guns out. I was
Did it make you nervous the first few laps around?
Oh, yeah.
The next time, breaking way early for turn one.
The first session out, I went. I did a 38. Which is no, that was slow. I was
but it's your first lap, whatever. No one cares.
I was a little nervous,
yeah.
And then we had a whole new setup. IG redid the whole car. It had a new engine, 540 horsepower. It had a brand new built transmission with front and rear diffs. We put a diff controller, the JDM fifth and sixth gears. And we did the really cool thing is that we did this rim resurfacing up there.
Wait, this one?
Yeah. This one? No, one over.
Wait, where are we looking at?
This one right here. One over. The gears.
The gears?
There
you said rim resurfacing.
Yeah, it's called REM.
I thought you meant the wheels. That's why I kept going to pictures of wheels. I'm sorry. Okay, REM? REM.
Super finishing.
What is that?
It's like a finishing they do that strengthens the metal. It's like a
like a ceramic coating kind of thing?
I think so. I'm not. It's a chemical treatment that they do to all the gears, and it makes them stronger, and it also causes you to lose less horsepower through the drivetrain.
Really?
So because
it makes the gears fit together
better? Together better, yes.
Wow, interesting.
So
that sounds expensive.
They actually, I didn't ask for this, but I wasn't mad. I didn't ask for it, but they were I owe a lot to them because they literally have a lot of they see a lot in me. So they were like, we want you to do your very best. We're going to do this for you, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, cool.
Wow. Nice to have a shop like that on your side. Those gears look, is that like, are they wet in that picture?
No, that is what they look like after the super finishing. They look like
mercury.
Dude, they're, aren't they beautiful?
Yeah.
Literally.
Like they look like a liquid metal. Like, I feel like they I would want jewelry wet.
To look like that.
It looks like you dipped them in oil. Dude, and they then look they're chromed. Just sitting. Yes. Yeah. That's fucking awesome.
So, I mean, it strengthens them. And then the, and of course, longevity, because that's why we rebuilt the transmission that my sink rose. And we took the transmission apart to put the front diff in. And my fourth gear, the shift fork. Like the very end has like the little nubby on it.
Mm.
It fell off and was like grinding into the gear.
Well, that's good.
So literally fourth gear was going to be like gone.
Was it? Is it still the WRX trans or was it an STI no, it's trans? An STI yeah, trans. I figured, right? So you get the solid, the rod linkage instead of the cable.
Yeah. Well, they all had that in the back in 07.
Oh,
yeah.
They did?
That's a
oh,
is new,
only the new
that's
one?
That's the new
one. Oh, I didn't realize they actually cheapened out on the newer one.
I'm not a big fan of the new WRX.
I like the 2-liter engine, actually. I'm a fan of the 2-liter engine. If
you
only because, yeah, I know, but like, I don't know, I'm tired of the same engine for 10 years.
No,
I'd like to see a new engine, that's all.
Oh, yeah.
Especially because like that Type RA thing I drove was like almost 50 G's.
Dude.
It was nice. So it actually was nice.
Snell Performance, I'm with Team Snell Performance, and we have there's like four of us, and Travis Barnes. If you just look up Snell Performance, Travis Barnes, he has an RA, and that thing is legit. It's white.
Snell Performance. I'll follow them.
Yeah, you should.
Thank you. Okay. Cool. Here's a white RA.
Yeah, that's him.
I actually drove the RA. To Subaru's credit, have you had a go in that yet?
I've not driven.
So there's a couple of things in that car that simply cannot be achieved in the aftermarket.
Oh.
Or they could, but it would be insanely expensive. Sure. Like that carbon roof.
Oh,
it actually adds, you know, structural rigidity. Mm-hmm. What else did they do? Now I'm blanking. There is some specific chassis stuff that you actually really almost can't do. And it was nice, but it was 50 G's.
It is 50 G's.
It's 50 G's. That was it's a little much for
me. But I feel like for what you're getting, though, you're getting a lot for 50 G's. Considering a new STI is, if you get a base model STI,
yeah,
it's like 40.
That's true.
So like.
I'm not going to throw that big of a stones because I drive a fucking $55,000 Focus RS. So like, you know, who am I to talk?
And that's not even like if you get a limited STI, that's like what, 45? So what are you going to spend $5,000 more to get this?
I guess. Look, they sold out of them. Somebody wants that shit.
Somebody wanted one.
Somebody wants that shit.
I would totally get one, but yeah, that's not.
I think from now on, I'm swearing off hatchbacks and stuff. I'm just going, just 911s.
I'm that guy. I'm just going to be my Subaru.
I've tried too many times to turn one car into another car.
Oh, yeah. No,
you know
what
I mean?
You. No.
And so I just don't. I don't think it can be done.
I mean, I love Subaru, and I will always have my race car. But don't get me wrong, I'd love an S2000.
They're out there. You could have one of those too.
Done.
There's some dudes at Grid Life who fucking mob in S2000s.
Dude, they're just like.
Who's that guy who fucking runs like a stock powertrain S2000 with a wing and sets incredible lap times? It's just like sticky tires and coilovers. And he sets incredible lap times.
I feel like there's a lot of them.
There's a few of them.
There's a lot of them. Like my friend Carla, she lives here in SoCal, and she has an S2000 that was stock power, and she had like a wing on it, and it was like street class. She had a front splitter, and she was doing like 56s at Buttonwillow.
Yeah.
Dude, that's mobbing.
At Buttonwillow. I thought you were going to say Road Atlanta. 56s at Buttonwillow? Yeah. That's fast.
And
that's
really street fast. Tire and coilovers.
S2000 is very fast.
Dude, she mobs it out there. It's like super cool. I'm like wow.
I ran like a 201 in a Lotus Evora 400, like in 100,000. Granted, it was on like super sports and shit, but still, you're talking about a $100,000 sports car, not a fucking 12-year-old Honda.
Right?
Yeah.
Like she mobs it out there. It's fantastic.
That's great. Good driving for her too.
Oh,
that's very good driving.
Yes. Yes. She's super good.
Yeah, I'm not trying to shit on Subarus. I'm sure they are fun.
Don't get me wrong. There's always a car out there I'd like to have. You know,
just break a lot. And the engine's old. I don't have a problem with the cars. I just wish the company,
You got to find a company that like that got rid of all the problems. Like IG, they fixed. I mean, my car runs fantastic. I have 540 horsepower, and I go out and beat the crap out of it. And
What does it take to make a Subaru work properly under race conditions? Because I see them blowing up all the fucking time.
Well, a lot of the time, no offense to people, but a lot of it is if you don't maintain your car.
Oh, really? Are people bad at maintaining their cars?
Well, you get low. You check your oil. I check it every time I come off track. If you are low on oil, you'll spin a bearing.
Does your car burn oil every time you go on track?
No.
Okay.
But it's good just to check. I mean, it's a turboed car. It's going to burn some oil. That's just the way it is. But a lot of people, you know, if you run like ethanol, if you don't do an oil change after every track event, you know, ethanol does get into the oil and that does cause, you know, the oil to break down. And it's not as good if you do two track days, you know, you could have a problem.
Yeah.
I think a lot of it, like Subaru is a good car. They do have a lot of problems. They do have problem, you know, things that do need to be corrected. But a lot of it is maintenance.
I think in general, people don't understand how much more maintenance they need to do if they're doing racetrack stuff.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people know that either.
Yeah. I mean, a racetrack environment, even on a high-performance car, you know, a lot of compromise is made for a street car. A lot.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, a street car is going to come with street brake pads and street brake fluid, and, you know, and you just have to, like, do a lot of shit if you're really going to be on the track.
If you're going to do that stuff, you got to, you know, you got to do it all in.
Like that track hawk I was driving at Road Atlanta and set the brakes on fire. 5,300 pounds. I ran a 46.
That's fantastic. I saw pictures of you out there.
It's hilarious.
And I was like, there's Matt.
Dude, it's so funny. I would take that line you took through turn three. I would take that 2 feet further to the right. My right wheels are like in the grass. You jump the berm. It was hysterical, but it was so dumb.
But hey, you had a blast though.
Not as much of a blast as if I was in a real sports car.
Hey, but you know what? In 2 weeks, I'm going to Gingerman for Grid Life around 5, and I'm going to be tracking a Honda Fit.
Oh, a spec B car?
Yeah.
Or just actual
Chris's car.
Oh, sweet. Dude, those Fits are fun as shit.
Dude, I am so stoked. Like, everybody's like, it's going to be so slow. I'm like, so
there's
like,
there's a shop I know, and fuck, I can't. It's like Total Chassis Solutions, I think it's called. Mm-hmm. I'm probably fucking this up. I think that's what it's called. I raced against them at NCM, and they had a second gen Fit that was fundamentally a spec B car with a few different suspension geometries and a K24 swap.
Oh.
It was so fast. Those
probably don't weigh anything.
No, it was like 2,300 pounds. Whoa. It was fucking
What's
rad.
That like?
I didn't drive it, but I saw him fly by me every fucking three laps, mobbing.
Like, what is that like? My car weighs like 3,100 pounds.
That's not that bad. I just drove the new Aventador that was 3,900 pounds. But I saw 177 miles an hour on the front straight of Escarillo.
They have like a wet bar in there too.
Dude, they have all kind of shit. This is the SVJ. Here it is. Aventador SVJ. They actually have made this thing go around corners. I know, just to think that a Lamborghini can't go around corners is funny, but it's true.
No, no.
You ever driven an original Aventador?
I've never even like... I think I've sat in a Lamborghini.
Oh, we should get you in a Lambo. We could get you in a Lambo. It's not that hard.
Okay, we should probably say that Amy is here.
Hi, Amy. She's hiding off camera. We could get you in a Lambo, but the early
Aventadors.
We were
just talking about that earlier today.
The early Aventadors don't handle for shit.
Well,
they plow. But they have...
So it's like a Subaru.
Worse.
So it's like you turn the wheel and you just go straight.
Imagine a Subaru with like... crazy staggered tires and tiny front wheels. Like that's what it's like.
So you're like driving a drag car?
You actually have to drive it like a front wheel drive car. It's really weird. Like super late trail braking and not touch the gas until you're straight again. Like
no.
But not now. They have figured out. So they've added rear steer to this,
whoa,
which really helps fundamentally alter the dynamics like under braking. You can rotate it under braking. And they have this thing called ALA, which is active aero. So in the nose, down in the schnoz here, they have these two little flaps that can direct air either above or below the front splitter. And then you see this big crazy wing?
Yeah.
So right in front of this big center stanchion is a big like hole, like the size of I don't know, like a mini basketball, and in that hole are two flaps. So normally they're closed and the air just flows over the wing.
No, it.
But the flaps open and the air flows inside the stanchion, and into the inside of the wing, which is hollow, and out these little flaps underneath the back so it can stall the wing for reduced downforce to make you go faster, right? What? But that's not the cool part. Because there's because there's two flaps, one on each side, when you're cornering, you can turn and it will stall the inside only and send all that extra downforce to the outside. So it's sort of like the it's like the equivalent of like those crazy Aero Motions wings, but without any of the funky hydraulics and shit. It just does it by moving air and stalling the certain parts of the wing. So it just goes
by the airflow.
Fucking badass, dude. It was so cool.
That is next level.
Plus 770 horsepower V12 that revs to 9. Giggity. Giggity.
What's fucking that like?
It's very lovely and very fast. Wait,
and you got to drive that?
Yeah, yeah, at Estoril. And here I can. I think I don't know if I can get. How do I get sound out of this? I don't actually know. I don't know how to actually make sound happen.
I can hear it.
I think it's coming out of the computer and not out of the.
Yeah.
Sorry. But yeah, 177 on the front straight. What? And whoa. It's.
Look at those wheels.
Center lock, lightweight center lock wheels.
What a caliper.
Giant ceramic brakes, you know, six piston, obviously. They've widened this scoop to get more air in the back. Sure. And they gave it more power by doing like some old school hot rodding shit. It's got like titanium valve springs and a lighter flywheel and clutch.
No way.
And yeah, they went old school with it. It's fucking rad. Go to my Instagram, listen to the flybys. And I have a full video coming soon with like really, really good sound.
Really, really good sound.
Really good sound. It's very, very, it's a very pretty car. I mean, it's aggressive and angry, but yeah, Portugal's pretty.
Yeah.
It is. It's
look
a good
the green stuff over there.
Grass?
I live in Phoenix. All I know is rock.
There's some grass and some trees. Portugal's like France without the assholes.
I've never been to France.
You're not missing much.
Okay. I'm over here, like, I don't even know what that's like.
They lost my bag with all my I had to go from Portugal, from LA to Portugal to Bonneville, right? And I needed my racing gear at Bonneville, which means I had to carry it to Portugal. And I had a layover on the way back through Charles de Gaulle, which in Paris, which is the worst airport on the planet.
Really?
Yes. Avoid a transfer through Charles de Gaulle.
I don't think I'll ever have to worry about that.
You might. You never know. A lot of European flights transfer.
Let me write that down.
So they lost my bag. So I got to Bonneville with no racing gear and no clothes or no anything.
Oh, great. You smell fantastic.
I had to go to the Family Dollar and buy a pair of mesh shorts, and Volkswagen provided me a very, very ill-fitting outfit that, hey, listen, thank you to Volkswagen, but
yay, Vito.
But yeah, they lost in my bag. My bag spent a night in Paris without me. I just got it back.
I'm surprised you even got it back.
Well,
I mean, honestly,
I had two bags. One is my hard case of my cameras, and the other was my bag of my racing shit. And when I went to fucking Air France counter when I got home, when I got to Bonneville,
the hard case wasn't there.
The hard case made it. The racing gear did not.
Oh, and they were
like, they said, I'm surprised even one of the bags made it. They're like, oh, you went through Charles de Gaulle? Yeah, fucking France. It's exactly like what happens when someone tries to break into your house in Venice Beach here. They go, eh, Venice. It's just like that. They go, eh, France. They act like you don't matter.
I'm surprised you. Wow.
But
hey, at least you got the good stuff.
Well, I got the cameras. That's what mattered.
That's
because,
matter,
because
yeah.
Then I went to Bonneville and drove this fucker.
I saw that
dude,
photo.
This is a Jetta.
Okay.
2019 Jetta.
2019 Jetta. Wow. Stock, look at those.
Stock bodywork.
Yeah.
Has to be complete stock bodywork except for these little fins, just very small fins.
Sure.
For stability, that's
like
allowed
like
in the class.
Like a vortex generator or something like that?
I don't know.
Like you see those on the cars.
It's 99% stock body, but for whatever the class is, they just allow these very small fins, and it's a 2-liter six-speed manual car, stock gearbox, stock block, stock bottom end, 2-liter, and it makes 550 wheel horsepower.
So is it TSI?
It's a TSI.
Okay.
It runs on race gas. It does run on C16. And Volkswagen went out and set the record.
Whoa, no way.
At 210 miles an hour in this vehicle
TSI?
The other day. Yeah. And then I went out in it and did 211 miles an hour. And I got to pull a chute, which is my first time ever pulling a chute. And it was fucking rad. Dude, 211 in a Jetta.
Dude.
So awesome.
Dude, that's and crazy.
It has a theoretical geared out top speed, theoretical of 229 or something miles an hour.
And you said stock trans?
Stock 6-speed manual gearbox. Yeah, here's some packing.
So was that like
back up.
So you probably can't buy a Jetta with that trans.
You can. It's the stock trans.
So it's not like a not a GTI trans or anything?
So okay.
I wouldn't think.
No, no. The engine is the 2-liter.
Yeah.
It is not available in the 19 Jetta.
Right.
But it will be available in the GLI. The GLI. And right. As will the gearbox, which is from a GT. It's a stock Volkswagen gearbox from a GTI manual.
Because the Jetta's come with an 1.8 and a 1.4.
Right. The GLI will have the 2-liter and this manual gearbox. So it's a preview of that.
Ooh.
And it's running C16 and it's got a BorgWarner turbo. Like, wait, I think I have a picture of the turbo. It's here. Engine. Here, look at this intercooler they made. So here's this crazy intercooler.
What?
And here's the turbo.
What?
And so the intercooler, you see this all this plumbing?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The plumbing is going through the firewall into where the passenger seat would be, where there is a giant metal ice chest.
I was seeing it. I was waiting for that comment.
Yeah, they just dump ice into it.
I'm like, there's
really
just
think
no
this.
Way.
Think about the kind of heat that is required out of an engine to go full throttle for like a minute.
That's what I was wondering. How long does it take to get to 200?
It took about 2 miles to get to 200.
Okay.
And another mile and change to get to 211. And the car had, and the gearing. So here's 211 at 76-79 RPM. I kind of bitched out. I knew the record.
I was like, where do you stop?
Well, I knew the record was 210. And so when I saw 211, I was like, I'm there. And
like,
I pulled the chute. And the red line was 7800 for me. For that was a journalist red line. So I still had about, 130 RPM to go. So if I had stuck in it, I might have seen 212 or 213, maybe 214, but I bailed out. But the theoretical red line of this engine is 8400, which is how you get to the 229.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah. Crazy, right?
That's insane.
And then I'm sorry if I didn't pull that over to the show. What, are we not auto-living? What happened? Did something happen here? I don't know. But they put a WaveTrack LSD, and that is, so it is geared longer.
Okay.
Like, you couldn't, I don't think you could run a stock
right,
Jetta
I'm like,
to 211.
But No, but bro,
that, it was awesome.
That's pretty cool,
that was
though.
Fucking rad.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it was super fun. I highly Bonneville is one of those things where, like, to be there on the Salt, it's so beautiful.
Dude, I was like wondering, like, is there an end port?
Yeah, so they
two? Because it feels like it just goes on and on.
It does, so like what happens is, they make a straight course of cones. It's like 100 feet wide, and there's mile markers, and they say, shut it down at the 5, no matter what.
Oh, okay.
So that's the race course is 5, and then there's a runoff area to slow down.
Sure.
That's like another 3 or 4.
Oh, okay.
So,
cool.
People are going 400 miles an hour.
Did they really get that fast?
Yeah, I think the fastest car.
I'm ignorant on this stuff. I'm
sorry. No, I think the fastest car at Speed Week this year was like a wheel driven turbine car that did like 430 or some shit. Yeah, no, crazy. But the land speed record stuff, like the proper land speeds, like where they're going like 700 now, where it's basically fighter planes with wheels on them.
This is nuts.
They do that in, Black Rock. It's longer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Bonneville's where they settle the records in like the 60s and 70s. But now it's not long enough No, it's long enough to do the kind of stuff, to go 300, 400, but not 700. So
gotcha.
It's 5 miles, and then no matter what, you shut it down. But I shut it down at like the 3.5 or 4. Yeah.
I don't blame you.
Yeah, I mean, I just didn't. He was like, run it out, whatever. But I was like, I'm like, there.
You're
I'm
like,
there.
I'm good.
I'm there. Let's not like.
This is the record. This is me. We're good. Right.
And then I sharpied. And then I sharpied my name on the car. I didn't ask permission or anything. I just wrote on the car.
Well, I mean, right there. I mean, I think you deserve it.
I really wish I had better handwriting. Handwriting's terrible. So wait, okay, let's go back to your car. So now
we totally tangent for a really long time.
That's okay. That's what we do on this show. There's mad tangents.
I have no idea.
I want to. So now, what's in? Give me the whole scenario with your car.
Okay, where were we? Where were we?
Well, you had a 540 horsepower engine that works properly.
Oh.
How do you get 540 horsepower working properly out of a Subaru?
Out of a Subaru. Mm-hmm. Well, two words, IG performance for sure. They literally have, well, they've been perfecting the Subaru engine for like a long time, for multiple years. I've known about them. Like, I got into the Subaru world like 7-8 years ago, and they were a name then. And they have like grown so big.
Where are they at?
They're in Maryland, Baltimore. Oh. My car lived there for like 6 months this year. That's how I did so many East Coast events. My car just lived over there.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I went to Road Atlanta in May, and they just drove my car to their shop. Like, they trailered it, took it to the shop. Our truck and trailer took it up there, and then we went to, you know, we went to Hyperfest and VIR at VIR, and we went to Gingerman, and where else did we go? I went to so many places I can't remember. But they perfected that engine. I mean, they've come out with a thing, the closed deck block.
That's what those special, like the 94 Legacies, right, from like Japan had.
I think they had something similar. Uh-huh. I don't think they have something to this magnitude.
Okay.
They take essentially a stock case halves, and they fill in the areas that are open, which would cause you to get like a cracked cylinder wall.
Right.
Look up closed deck.
I have
button.
Right here. Here we go.
There you go. IAG performance right
IAG
there.
IAG performance.
So you should pull up a you should pull up a regular like.
Well, I think this area here, which
there's
people,
tons of holes.
There's
all
lots
the way.
Of holes, but there'd be there instead of holes, there would be huge gaps of air.
Huge gaps of air. So, you know, you push so much power out of a really thin cylinder wall. What's going to happen? It's going to crack and break.
Right. So here's here's an open deck.
Yes.
So here's look at all this air around the.
I mean, that's a lot of room.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you think is going to happen in this area?
Yeah.
I mean, you're trying to push like 500 horsepower out of something that's like.
So that versus this, like it's all just metal.
Right.
Right. And $700 block. It's not so bad.
That's for a basic one. But.
That's still less than I would think
still
for an
less,
engine
you
block.
Know, to be honest with you, Subarus are, I mean, they're expensive. I mean, if you get the billet block, I'm sure that's a lot of money.
Right.
But I mean, you're getting what you're paying for here. But, you know, you're going to spend thousands upon thousands of dollars.
Right.
But I mean, all reality, you try to like. Replace like I'm sure like a Porsche engine or like a
I can tell you how much that costs and it's fucking shocking. Porsche horsepower, especially air cooled Porsche horsepower, offers the worst value for money of probably
you're paying
any.
For a buck is zero.
So I'll just real quick. So if you want like a 250 wheel, starting with an engine that isn't exploded, right? Maybe it's tired, but a functional engine. If you want 250 wheel, you're probably looking at around. 18, 19 grand.
Yeah, no thanks.
If you want 300 wheel, that's like 35 to 40
oh,
grand.
No.
350 wheel is almost like 80 or 90,000. If you want 400 wheel, it's like 125 grand. And if you want 450 wheel, it's $250,000.
Yeah, no.
Crazy.
So, I mean, in all aspects, Subaru, like.
Good value.
It's a good value for how much power you can make. And it's, I mean, it is expensive. Anything costs money, but in all reality, it's not that much. It's in the scheme of things, it's cheaper. But they've come across, so like, they make you packages. I mean, you can get an entire short block put together with, you know, a forged internals, closed deck, everything built, like literally shipped to your door in a box that's foam filled that, I mean, could probably fall off some building and be fine. I've seen them. They have like a machine just for building, like putting their short blocks into crates.
Like the foam filling thing?
Dude.
So like in that movie Demolition Man where they just fill it with the expanding
foam?
It's
kind of like that.
That's
in
rad.
If you ever get a chance, you should really like hit them up and go do a tour.
If I'm in Maryland, I will be.
You totally would. You would love it. Because, like, literally, they have all the CNC machines. They have, like, He has a water jet. He has
those are
all
fun.
Dude, and just to see that the parts being made, like people be like, oh, it's expensive. But yeah, but look who look like it's precise.
Yeah. What is it? What does a complete engine like that go for? 10?
We might have to look that up. On the,
can I find? Well, do they have? Will they have?
Mine's
full
like
engine?
A specialty deal, so it's not like.
Will they have complete engines?
I would
here?
Just go to iagperformance.com.
Oh, that's from a reseller. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's for import image.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. I mean, I didn't they sell. They,
okay,
they
here we go.
Sell to
products.
Yes.
Engine.
Mm-hmm.
Complete engines. Do we have complete engines?
They
WRX,
do.
WRX Forester Legacy Service and Support. Where do I find engines?
Where can I not
read? Engines.
Oh
staged blocks. Okay, here we go.
So you can order a block on buy, like how you what you plan on doing.
Yeah.
If you just plan on having like a streetcar, you could get something small, or you can.
Oh, billet block, 15 G's.
To be honest with you, like what you were talking about, look at the difference.
Oh, wow.
You make like a 1,200 horsepower that.
Yeah. But what an inefficient way to make 1,200 horsepower. If you really want 1,200 horsepower, do you really want it in a Subaru?
You might. I don't know. Maybe you just really love that.
I mean, like you have to really love it. Okay, but most of these are like $4,000 or $5,000.
Like I have a stage 4 block.
Okay. And what does that mean? It's just when you go through the stages, it's just like more and more closed deck.
Well, mine's kind of custom. It's not like a complete stage 4. It's like a stage 4 block with 14 millimeter head studs, and it does have their new fire lock gasket, which Subarus are known for blowing head gaskets.
Yes.
IAG Performance has come out with this new product where they have a thing called a fire lock ring inside, and it actually helps from the car from blowing out that head gasket. It's insane.
Where can I find that? Oh, gaskets and seals?
Probably out there.
Head gaskets. Head gaskets. Do you think they're in the parts store yet?
I really don't know.
Eh? I don't know.
But along with the...
They have a lot of head gaskets. I can't find one that says fire. Oh, this one says 14 millimeter head studs.
Probably similar to...
This is a really interesting show. Looking at parts.
They did a whole like video. Actually, it's on my Instagram. If you... I shared this promo video that they made. It's that black.
The black?
This one.
It's blick. Let me see. So we can animate this. Yeah.
It's really pretty cool.
So it's... Wow.
They really
stage
literally,
4 block, 14 millimeter head studs, upgraded gaskets. You need a built motor, really. For all this stuff, huh?
Well, yeah. If you're gonna go out there, see there.
Oh, there
you go.
Fire lock head gasket. It's a good name. Locks in the fire.
Yeah.
Okay, so you have this crazy fully built motor. You have the crazy gear set, right? The not chrome dipped, but look chrome dipped looking gear set. What do you rock from for suspension in this thing?
I'm BC Racing coilovers.
People shit on those all the time,
dude. They shouldn't.
I've driven on them a bunch, and they're all right,
dude. I went. I did a 54.6 at Buttonwillow.
That's good. That's very fast.
And those weren't even valved. They had a...
Those are just off the rack?
12 and 10 K springs.
All right.
Dude, the car feels great. And they'll do whatever.
Stiff?
No. I mean, the car feels good. I mean, you don't want it overly stiff. You want some kind of, give in there.
I like some give because I drive on bumpy roads and I like to take a lot of curbing and stuff, and I don't like that to upset my line.
So, and if you get something that's too stiff, I feel like if you go into a corner and you know, I have diffs on my car, so it kind of wants to rotate a little bit too much anyway.
Oh yeah, it'll bounce the weight around and it'll make the diffs act weird.
So I personally love them. I did great. That was my first event out on them, and dude, the car rocked. And it was in 100 degree heat. It was 100 degrees.
Do you overheat shocks often? Have you had that happen?
No.
I've had it happen a couple of times where it either blows a seal and starts leaking fluid.
Okay.
Or you know what shocks can overheat are the magnetic ride shocks. MR, like when they cool off, they come back. But like the fluid, that magnetic fluid, mm-hmm. if you drive like a heavy-ish car, like one of the Camaros with MR, and it's a really hot day and you're really running it hard, you can overheat them and the car starts to get like real sloppy and weird. And you let it cool off for a while and they come back.
Fine.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah. The MR shocks are kind of all like that. It's
kind of weird.
Yeah. They're just heat susceptible.
I don't
like
know.
Anything else.
Yeah. Well, everything on a car.
But do you run, but you don't run like funky geometries, right? It's the standard. It has to be the standard geometries for the class.
Yeah. We can't have geometry corrected anything.
Right.
I think you can have like a geometry corrected top hat or something like that, but let me know.
Yeah.
At that point, you can't run like a knuckle or something like
right
insanely. I think you You could have this year, but it's, I don't know that it's going to be okay in later on down the road or something like that. But you can't really run anything too geometry corrected. It's supposed to be street like bolt-ons.
Right.
So like we have like every bushing that Super Pro makes on the car, and we have
Are they like poly or Delrin or whatever?
Yeah, the poly. Yeah. Like those little
the white ones?
No, their whole thing is purple. Mm. But yeah, like the poly bushings, and they're all, you know, we have them on like almost everything on the car. I don't think I have any bushings left. Like stock bushings until recently. Like earlier this year, my car was had a lot of stock things, and they fixed that stuff up. They're like, "You're getting this stuff out of here."
Nah. How much time do you spend on the aero? You've got a splitter, you got a big wing. Do you fuck with it much, or you just kind of?
To be honest with you, no. You know, previously that brings up a good point. Went to Road Atlanta earlier this year in May, and my splitter, I had a newer splitter on there, and we really can't test Road Atlanta because that is really really. Crucial at Road Atlanta is your aero, and it's hard on it. Like if your aero is lacking, it's going to turn to pieces.
Yeah,
and that's essentially what happened. My splitter like turned into a taco.
Really?
It literally went.
Oh shit!
It was bad.
That's bad.
It actually, I think it might have hit one of my oil cooler lines because it all went all sorts of nuts under there, and it actually hit the header, and then it had an oil leak, and then it had an engine fire, and it was just a mess.
Wow, that is. Yeah.
So we actually went with I actually bought the splitter used from a friend.
Okay.
He has a Subaru and it's an IG performance car, but he had an old splitter he was trying to like sell, and he's like, we got it from him. And so we put it on the car. It's actually not even made for my car, but it fits. And to the rule, you can have 5 inches away from your bumper.
Okay.
All the way around. Mm-hmm. This is like 3 front and maybe like 2 on the sides.
Yeah. It doesn't look that big.
But it's really well made and it works really well. So, we're actually doing way more with less.
Oh, great.
Which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
And I can't really mess with the wing at all because it's at the limit. I can't have
that max angle.
Yeah. The wing can't be above my roof line.
Oh, max height. And can you adjust? Are you allowed to adjust the angle?
But if I adjust the angle, it goes above the roof line.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
So it's where it's at.
So we're thinking about maybe trimming the bottom of the stands because it's chassis mounted. It goes all the way to the floor of the car.
It has to. Otherwise, you're just going to dent your trunk.
Right, it's going to fly off. Yeah. So we can actually start using the wing.
Cool.
Because we're getting to the point, like, that was my whole purpose this year, is doing on the East Coast with IG, where we're going to, like, lots of seat time. We're going to do all these upgrades. We're going to get seat time. And, dude, they've turned my race program, from, like, 180.
That's like, awesome.
I've never gone so fast ever.
That's awesome.
And we're just tip of the iceberg right now. Like I haven't even got a lot of seat time in the car. So like we're
how many days do you think you've run that thing? Like in its current state?
In its current state now?
Yeah.
Just Road Atlanta.
Where are you going next?
Button Willow Super Lap Battle.
Oh nice. When is that?
That is November 8th and 9th. Global Time Attack.
Global Time Attack. I'm gonna pull it up. What kind of cars is it all? Is it like same as same as Grid Life Crowd in Global Time?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like Willa Young.
Oh, Willa Young. Yeah, this dude is at Grid Life. Didn't he just set another record? Did he set a record?
Well, he has the fastest time at Button Willow.
What did he run at Button Willow?
That's actually my boyfriend right there.
Oh,
this is Snell Performance, Marcos.
Oh, hi, Marcos.
He owns the street class overall record at Button Willow.
Really? What is that?
A 148.
That's fucking fast. And that's Subaru.
And that's Subaru.
Jesus Christ, that goes. All right. Superlap Battle Global Time Attack. Nice. Are you doing that speed ring thing?
That's right now.
It's dude, that so the Grid Life guys came up is there a website for it?
Yes, but I don't know if they
uh-oh, that's not a good.
their little speed ring.
They have this, it's like a, for Grid Life, it's sort of this like head-to-head.
Dude, I wanted to go so bad.
Battle. I didn't
think about this well enough before I brought my car home.
They don't have it on their website.
They have a $5,000 purse right now for a street mod class.
Yeah.
I'm like, and I should have kept my car like 1 month longer on the East Coast. I could have gone to this.
How did they set it up? It's like a head-to-head battle elimination, right?
So it's Time Attack today. You qualify for your time by going like doing Time Attack laps.
Yeah.
And so whoever your fastest time, and then they take a portion of the people in that class, and I think only like a certain amount of people get to move on to like the track battle, which is the toge battle type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So like you have to, I think it's like, I think it's like the top five. I don't really know. But so the top five people get to move on to the next round, which is tomorrow, which is when they do like the track battle, the toge, back yeah. and forth type stuff.
They, Chris Stewart was telling me about this, the guy who runs Grid Life, and the idea is to make Time Attack a better spectator sport.
Well, and I totally understand, because let's be honest,
it's not a good spectator sport.
Nobody can tell that I've gone 3 seconds faster.
No. Nobody I completely can, agree.
They're it's, like, oh, there goes Sally with her pink wheels.
It's a great, it's a, no, I mean, Time Attack is a great way to race your car in a safer way than like wheel to wheel.
Oh, yeah.
And to, as a driver, it's great, and but it, as a spectator, you can't really tell what's going on without like really good commentating. So
yeah, it was somebody going, "Oh, look, here she comes down Road Atlanta." Like
usually,
Austin,
my job.
Austin Cabot did a great job at Grid Life. Like he did a fantastic job. Like I couldn't hear me out there, but I could hear him commentating for like the other groups.
Yeah.
And he was great. Like, oh, they're coming down from corner 12, and he's about to start finish, and look, oh, he's gone 3.2 seconds faster or something, something, something.
Austin's
or,
the man at that kind of stuff.
Like, he did a really good job, and it hypes people up because people are listening to that. They may not even be watching on track, but they're hearing it, or if they are watching, they're able to like say, oh, you know, oh, I could tell he went faster in this one corner that I'm watching or whatever, yeah. whatever.
Well, it generates excitement and stuff like that.
Right, exactly. It yep. generates people wanting to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
And they do the same thing on Global Time Attack. They have like an announcer guy who like says, hey, you know, this guy, oh, they're coming around, you know, sunset here at Buttonwillow. And
but it's just, it's not as binary as that guy's in front of that guy. And so, you know what I mean?
This
so as a
like,
spectator.
This is like watching.
Yeah, as a spectator, it takes the rallycross formula and brings it over to Time Attack.
Right. Or like the formula drift time, you know, because yeah. people can see that. Be like, oh, he obviously did better. I just yeah. watched his run.
Yeah.
Or like, oh, I can see that there was like a 2 car lengths gap and now there's 3 car lengths gap. This guy is like, you know, leaving this guy in the dust. He just got left at Gapplebee's, so.
Yeah. It's a Gapplebee's. That's good. I like that. I've heard that one. Get on the super chat if you want to do questions. We're going to do that for the next 20 minutes of the show. There's a bunch on there already.
Man.
But yeah, I the speed ring thing. I don't know where to fucking find it, but
I
look
think it's
for
under
it.
The speed ring.
The speed ring?
I think it's the speed ring.
Maybe. Is that it?
Yeah.
AF, thank you,
I've been
Sally.
Watching.
The speed
Dude,
ring.
Dude, before I got here, I was laying in bed, like, watching the transponder times. I'm
yeah, there's
that.
James Houghton.
Yeah.
I like how he's got a trophy in one hand and a beer in the other hand.
That's him.
He's
you
a
know,
maniac.
He's got a watermelon on his head, you know.
Dude, Houghton... This dude ran a fucking 22 at Road
dude,
Atlanta
here,
and then had a
him.
Watermelon on his head like an hour later.
I have some really great pictures of James. James is like a really good bud. I love that guy.
Here's here's some Instagram from that's going on. Oh, wow. Look at some of these cars at Speed Ring,
oh, yeah,
dude.
Yeah.
Look at this shit.
So
who's that?
He's Cam Jam. He's from Canada. They
Bro,
run
that's
a lot.
Sexy car, man.
They run a lot with the CSCS. He actually broke the last time I looked, which has not been right now, but he did break the record earlier this morning. He did like a 103 something, and it was like a 104 previously.
Wait, is this whole body dropped? Like this whole body's
oh,
been
sure.
chopped and dropped.
I'm sure. That's just that's not
the
a
proportions
Subaru anymore.
Of wheel to body are all different here. I'm gonna follow them. What else is happening on the speed ring?
You can so There's we can watch of... we can watch it on here. Live
What's
timing.
That? Oh, you got live timing on the is that race monitor?
Yes, it was a race hero. Same thing.
Wow, there's some cool cars. Here's a GTR. Look at the wing.
That's from last year.
The wing with this CRX.
Oh
this,
yeah, dude, they're crazy out there.
There's some great cars that do this shit. That CRX is sexy as hell. Vibrant performance. Rear wheel drive CRX. Hell yeah.
What?
I don't know. That's what it says. Rear wheel drive CRX. So the speed. Here's is this Tony?
That's Tony.
That's Tony in the M235i. 135i? That's a 135.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, the speed ring. So this is like, like they said, it's Time Attack and then it's Toge Battle.
Yeah, cool. It's super cool. I wish I would have. Wish I would have gone. Actually,
next year.
I'm kind of.
I'd like
out.
To go next year. I couldn't. I was. I was doing the Bonneville thing, so I couldn't make it. That's but they cool. invited me to go next year. Let's do some. I got questions from live people. You want to get down on this?
Yeah.
Jason says, I'm in LA for the first time working as an AC on a car show. That'll be fun. AC is assistant camera, if you're not in the
Hollywood game. Oh, okay. I'm all in.
What car should I get on Turo for a weekend to play in the Angeles Forest? $100 a day. So, you know Turo?
No.
It's like Airbnb for cars.
Oh.
Yeah, it's pretty rad. If you're
really?
Yeah, and the selection varies by where sure. you are, but if you're in LA or Miami or like the New York area,
sure.
you can get some dope shit. So
for like $100 a day?
$100 a day.
Like what did that get you?
$100 a day will get you a vet. Like a manual
what, really?
Transmission vet. Yeah, it'll get you a 911. It'll get you
a Porsche all day.
And it'll get you. Yeah, I would probably get a Porsche. It might get you in a, like a few years older R8. It'll get you in a Tesla.
Any of those? I think it maybe give up the Tesla.
Well, but. I mean, not for the Angeles Forest, but if you're in the city, a Tesla would be.
Yeah.
Would be, I got a Tesla on a Model 3 on Turo for $100 a day. It was great.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really? $100?
Yeah, I would say. All right. I mean,
dude, you can't even go hardly rent a regular, like, you get a shoebox at the rental place. We're,
here we go. Let's see.
For $100.
We'll just take a look. I'll do a free commercial for them. $9.83. So we'll talk about if you want to do a day. So here's 24 hours. Let's see what we can get for. Wait, where's my filter? Let's get a filter here. $100 a day and 100 miles a day. Wait, hang on. Where's the price? Price. Oh, here, price. Excuse me.
Oh, yeah, here we go.
Price, 10. So we'll go to 90 to 120 a day.
Yeah.
Let's see what we get here.
Dang,
so,
look at that.
So here's what you get. Look, we got a vet. We got an M3, Jag F-Type, bunch of M3s, what? Bunch of vets.
That's really surprising.
Yeah. Now, someone's good with their E-class photography there with their neons.
Dang.
Here's a 718 Boxster. BMW 4 Series cab. I mean, there's a bunch of fun shit. I'd say there's a this. I swear to God, this Nissan 370Z is an ex-press car. I swear, I saw it as a press car.
Like $100 a day, you could get that, or you could get that.
A really awful CLA on Ooh. Rims.
Well,
not get a Polaris Slingshot.
Not everybody
you do.
Has good taste.
No. But yeah, you definitely have options. I would say for $100 a day, your best options are going to be a vet or an E92 M3, both of which are available. Or
Dude,
an F-Type.
Yeah.
Totally decent.
Yeah.
Totally decent options. If you crank it up to like $150, you're looking at brand new M3s and stuff as well.
For $150 a day.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
So what if somebody crashed it?
They come with insurance. The cars come with insurance. Yeah. I think if you scratch it up, you have to pay for it. But if you actually had a crash, there's insurance. Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yep. Thank you, Jason. Macon says, I've been daily driving and wrenching on my NB Miata for a while, looking for something a little more comfortable and slightly bigger. What is the best option to keep the driving and controls of the Miata? I have an obvious answer to this. What do you think, Sal?
Maybe like a S2000?
I don't think that's much bigger.
Well, yeah.
But I think an 86.
I didn't think about those.
Yeah, an 86 is bigger.
Yeah, that is bigger. You probably. I don't know if I'm actually not. I don't know if it handles better or not.
It has the steering is just as good.
Really?
Now I don't know if stock for stock because the 86 comes with those hard tires. So, but you throw a good set of tires on them.
Yeah, you probably get pretty sticky. I've seen a lot of people go out there and have fun in those on track. And
I think those hard tires are really fun because I like sliding the thing around. And if you want to have fun, you could drift all day on those shitty hard tires.
And then they're still fine.
They're Prius tires. Yeah, you could drift all day. And so
with the high rolling resistance tires,
they're
like $300 a piece.
I think that's the obvious answer is the 86, which has the best, similar controls as a Miata. That's what
I'm doing. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Vlad, fucking great name, buddy.
Vlad.
I used to have a Volkswagen Passat as a daily and a 981 Boxster S for weekends and track days. Okay. 10 months ago, I replaced the Passat with a Tesla Model X.
Oh.
Driving on petrol now feels like a guilty pleasure. And lack of seat time means I've only driven the Boxster on track and haven't been in the Alps since. Feels like I should move on to something more focused, but not sure where to go. Should I get a 987 Cayman R for better investment value, a Morgan three-wheeler for road fun, a spec GT86 or Caterham for track, or go crazy and build a Boxster race car? Holy shit.
Well, I'm going to say crazy because that's, I mean, Yeah, just go crazy and just build a race car.
Big difference here. Do you have a truck and trailer, or do you know, or do you have somewhere at the track to keep?
That's true.
You know,
you have to think
if
about
building a race car. If you are removing your street ability entirely. Yes. There's another level of commitment.
That's true. That's
right?
totally true.
You got to get your car around. You got to do a bunch of other stuff.
Well, you could drive. Yeah, if you're going to start tracking something, don't use it as a daily.
Yeah. Using it as a daily, but I think you can drive it on the street. Like, you don't necessarily have to eliminate street ability entirely.
Right.
So the Morgan three-wheeler is crazy fun.
I don't even know what that is.
You don't know Morgan three-wheeler is?
No.
Oh, hang on.
Well, he was talking about the Alps, and I'm like,
yeah, he's in Europe, but they have them here. They have a Morgan three wheeler here as well.
Oh, okay.
This is a Morgan three wheeler. For those who don't know, I have a kitten with three legs that I named Morgan after this car.
No way.
And these cars are is that Davey Johnson driving that in a hilarious picture? These are either the best worst cars ever or the worst best cars ever.
Okay, so.
Depending on who you ask.
Yeah, sure.
To drive one of these, you are somewhere between the Great Gatsby and a World War II fighter pilot.
I was thinking by his goggles on his face.
World War II fighter pilot. And every moment in a Morgan three-wheeler is amazing.
Well, yeah.
However, they are shit piles.
Well,
everything
like
breaks all the time. They're not made well. They fall apart. People crack chassis on them.
Is that like a Harley engine in there?
It is. It's an S&S V-twin.
Okay.
Which actually makes it sound rad as
hell. Oh, I'm sure it sounds
they
great.
They sound awesome. Yeah. And they're so fun when
they
work.
Look at that exhaust at the side. That looks like... That looks legit.
It's just a straight piece of tube.
That's red, but it looks awesome.
And yeah. And they're really fun. They're amazing to drive. Here's the interior. They're beautiful little things, but... They're kind of also drunk. So he asked about a Cayman R for better investment value. The Cayman R is not that great, and they don't hold their value that well.
I've driven one, so.
If that's what you want, if you want a Porsche that's like that for investment value, buy a Boxster Spider.
Ooh.
Boxster Spiders hold their value better. And if you have a daily, you don't have to worry about being forced to drive it in inclement weather.
Correct.
I would say get rid of your Boxster S and get a Boxster Spider, a newer one, or... I mean, the Morgan three-wheeler is rad, but you don't want to take one on a racetrack.
No.
It's rad for the street. If driving a Morgan three-wheeler through the Swiss Alps would be incredible. Incredible. If it doesn't leave you stranded up there.
You got to make it up there and back.
Yeah. And Caterhams, if you fit in. Have you ever driven a Caterham? Do you know what a Caterham is?
No.
Really?
No.
Oh, man. Oh, Caterhams are crazy. You'll know what a Caterham is when you've seen them.
Oh, okay.
This is a Caterham. This is the new.
That looks like a blast too, though.
They are a blast.
At least you have a windscreen on this one.
Yeah, if you fit, you can get one without a windscreen. That one has no windscreen.
Oh, wow.
This one has no windscreen. This is the R500. This is like the huge motor death trap crazy one. And they even make the one called an SV, which is a little bit wider for American bums.
Oh. the USDM style.
A Caterham is a real commitment, just like a Morgan three-wheeler is, to being in the outdoors.
Sure. No. I'm getting in the outdoors.
But, you know, both of those are fun. And if you have a daily, I think it's okay because... they'll both probably break.
Well, yeah.
Thank you, sir.
You're going to need the daily.
Ed wants to know, I just bought a 2014 Jetta TDI 6-speed manual with 35,000 miles for $2,000 under book.
Yep. Okay.
Nice.
Nice.
I wonder if it's a fixed diesel.
I'm sure it is.
That's all
they can sell them as right now.
Right, yeah. It's my daily driver as I have a long commute. Should I modify it for general hooning purposes? No. No. Mm. No. They're not because
it says front wheel drive.
It's front wheel drive, and what could you possibly do that would make it that much better?
To be honest with you, that car is going to go for a really long time. Considering it's a manual,
yeah.
You're going to get a ton of miles on that.
Yeah,
And you're going to get like even with the fix.
Yeah.
You're still going to get like probably close
I've heard,
to 45.
I've heard from two
40.
People in my travels recently who have had fixed ones
mm-hmm.
that the fuel economy is really not affected that much.
No, it's really, they're a little bit louder, but that's about it.
Yeah. I haven't heard any complaints about the fixed ones, but honestly, like That's an efficient car. It's not a fast car. It's not going to be a fast car.
No.
And to try and make it a fast car, you're going to make it dirty again. And that's just like bad for the world.
If you wanted to take like a TDI and do like Hoon stuff with it, you'd have to get like the first, like a 2006 Jetta.
Like the old one?
The ones that weren't common rail.
Yeah.
And you can do some cool stuff with that.
Can you?
Yes. You can do some cool stuff with that. But
like what?
I don't know. People like... They'll put a bigger turbo on there.
Just like stuff.
Just stuff to do. You can, you know, do the
You can do some coilovers and lightweight wheels and tires and make it handle better.
That's what, I mean, those ones are, they're a lot more like fail safe.
The newer ones are?
The old ones.
Oh, they're just more tough?
I feel like, you know, I don't know. I just feel like that's a better platform. I mean, they don't get it. They're not as torquey. They're kind of slow, but you're going to get a ton of, like, you can do stuff with them though.
Mm.
I feel like you can.
Good tip.
I don't know how true that is, but that's what I would say.
I don't know how much hooning you can do in a fucking TDI Jetta. I mean, you can make it handle better, but I don't know. I wouldn't bother. I would say save up some money and buy a Hoon car if that's really what you want.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ed. Gilad says, I want to say thanks for doing your show, even if you don't like the 996, which I have in love. If you love it, that's what's important, man. Don't let me talk you out of liking something.
Right.
I have my own taste. The other Willie Nelson says, enjoyed the video of the new Lexus. Uh-oh. We'll get to that. We'll get to that one. Don't read too far ahead. One corner I took was way blind and I was good. Any close calls in the canyons? No, I don't have any close calls in the canyons. I haven't in a while. And if I did, you'd see them on video. There's no benefit to keeping the good shit to myself. If something happens on a video that's close, you're going to see it. But I did this video and it was like...
Well, because it's like real life. Don't edit out the crap.
No, because the crap goes viral and that's how you get money.
Well, that's what people want to see. Yeah. They want to see the crap.
Yes.
They don't totally want to see everything staged.
Totally. But that's video he's referring to, it was so foggy and it was really, really hard to see.
Really?
Yeah. It was very foggy. Thank you, sir. Brian, Aston Vantage front grill looks cheap.
Oh.
Hang on. Let's take a look at the grill together and we'll see. So I actually am picking up one of these on Tuesday. Not to buy, just as a press card test.
Dang, get this green one.
to test. They probably will give me... I mean, I haven't seen it in person. In this photograph, it looks a little weird.
Yeah, it does look a little weird.
It's not my favorite. This car has a few pretty angles, but this front straight-on one...
Maybe the picture just doesn't do it justice.
It might not, and I hope that when I get the car in person, I'm going to change my mind a little bit.
Yeah.
But I don't love how it looks from the front. I do love how it looks from the back.
Oh, that is a nice looking car.
From the back, it is really nice. This is its best angle, the rear three-quarter, although I don't know about the yellow diffuser or green diffuser, whatever that is. Don't go to body-colored diffuser. Diffuser should be black.
Yeah, exactly. But that body line is nice.
That's a good body line, yeah. That I'm actually really stoked to drive this thing.
I would be too.
I've been asking the Aston people for quite some time to have a go. I'm glad the cars are finally here.
I'd jump at the chance.
Brian, I will address your cheap comment in the review if it actually does look cheap. Thank you. Thank you for your donation, Michael. Sean says, considering changing over to front wheel drive for endurance racing in a WRL and AER, which is what I run in, currently in a 94 Miata, thinking of first gen TSX. It's got a strong engine and a big fuel tank. So there are a lot.
I can see some with that, definitely.
I think a TSX would actually make a pretty good endurance race car. The K24 is a good engine. Although, and has a big fuel tank, although, depending on your budget, like we were talking about before in the show, a K24 in a fit is a lighter package with a shorter wheelbase, and it may end up costing less money.
Yeah.
They do the swaps. I feel like it's Total Chassis Engineering? Total Chassis? Is that it? It's not TC. Is it TCE? Hold on. Total Chassis.
Solution? I feel like I've heard that.
I think it's Solutions. Complete Chassis Solutions? No. Fuck. Jack Baruth wrote an article for Road and Track about it. Go find that article. Depending on your cost, I agree with you. Front wheel drive TSX is going to be a faster car.
Dude, that'd be fun.
Potentially a better... 94 is an NA Miata, right? An NAMI Auto is a class one car in AER. Yeah, like it's a slow.
That's slow. That's like 89 horsepower.
Yeah, a TSX is going to be a class two or possibly class three car. And I think your head's in the right place. If you want to go a little faster, that would probably be really
fun. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to guess on that way you can make like, what, 220?
Mm-hmm. I'm about that life. I'm with
That'd
you,
be
Sean.
Super
and
fun.
If you build a TSX race car, hit me up. I'll buy a seat in that. I'll do a race with you,
dude. That would be rad.
I'd love to. One of the only things I pay for these days in cars is buying seats in other people's race cars.
Well, you know, but the money, it's so worth it. Because for the amount of enjoyment you get in driving a car, it's just like it. I don't care. It's worth it.
Yeah.
It's worth it.
Especially in endurance racing, because like I buy my seat for $1,500 for a weekend.
Okay.
And that gets me like between 3.5 and 5 hours of in-race seat time.
Think about like if you had the car and you had to like go to the track and get it there, God. And the fuel, and then the transport, and then everything else involved with it. That's cheap.
Yeah, it's so cheap.
I get
to like just go home.
Yeah, yeah.
just put my helmet in the bag and like leave.
Thanks, guys. I had a blast.
Yeah, see you in 2 months.
See you later.
But speaking of AER, I will be racing in Mid-Ohio at the end of October with AER.
Oh,
dude, get in a car. Come on out. Get a seat in a car.
I've thought about
it. It's so fun. It's okay. Great racing. It's really enjoyable.
Well, hit me up. Let me know. I'm always down for whatever.
If there's an extra seat, I would 100% get you in this car.
Okay.
If you want to race an NC MX5 Cup with us.
Sure.
Yeah, it's good. Team Road and Track. It's fun.
Yeah.
Okay, now you can explain this. Jiu-Jitsu says, why is Lucy such a bully to Carl? What does that mean?
Okay, so I have two corgis.
Oh.
Carl and Lucy. Carl is a Pembroke Welsh corgi, and Lucy is a Cardigan Welsh corgi. There's two different kinds of corgis.
Really? What's the difference?
They have an Instagram page.
Oh, what is it?
It is The Corgi Loafs.
The Corgi Loafs?
Loafs. Mm-hmm. They
I typed it wrong.
Actually, just go to the dot.
Oh boy!
Just go to YouTube. Just go to Instagram.
I can't go to YouTube.
Oh, you can't.
No,
No, Instagram, and just put the corgi. There they are.
Oh, there it is.
There we go.
Oh, look at these puppers.
This is Carl. He's the middle one here. That's Carl.
You're so handsome.
He's a good little boy.
What a great puppy.
He's a good boy. And then there is...
And then this is
Lucy.
Wow.
Lucy is...
Big ears.
Lucy's a sweet girl, but she is such a bully to Carl. She bites him face. And
really?
If you follow me on Instagram, you're going to see the Carl and Lucy show all the time.
They're very cute. Good dogs. I like these dogs.
She just like bites his face and... She's such a little turd to him.
Oh, man. Do you have to separate them?
No. It's all in love.
My cats are... I brought Morgan home like a month ago.
Oh, yeah.
Because we had a cat, Axel, who passed away a few months ago. We have three cats.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't feel the same without him. And so we adopted Morgan.
Sure.
And he is... My other cats are 13 and he's 2.
Oh, my gosh.
He's a fucking maniac. I had to... Dude, look at this. This is for real. Wait. I had to install... To separate them... I had to install a screen security door on my bedroom. Look, here's Morgan just annoyed behind the fucking door. So they could get used to each other. Because I had...
Wow.
I bought the tallest cat gate made. It was like a 48-inch cat gate. And he just went right up and over
it. Oh, sure. He was like, nobody else.
So I had to have a fucking screen door installed in my house. Because Morgan is just crazy. And the other cats are like, fuck you, this is our house. And I've been like on a cat introduction phase for over a month now. I have the cat counselor. I've employed help of a cat behaviorist. And they're expecting it's going to be a 3 to 6 month.
Really?
Yeah.
Carl and Lucy, they took about 6 hours.
Yeah, dogs are easy. You just throw them in a room together, they sort it out.
Now they're like best buds. Well, they've been together for
Conrad.
2 years. So
here's my other boy. Conrad's the best.
Oh, what a sweet
Conrad's.
Sweet
he's
dog.
So handsome. He looks fatter than he is in this picture.
He's
such a sweet
boy. We all look
boy.
Fatter in pictures.
I know. I have the worst. Like I'm in a car. I'm sitting in a driver's seat. It's the least flattering position anyone could fucking ever be in. And that's my life. Well, Lucy, leave Carl alone.
Carl's a good boy, and Lucy, she's a sweetheart too. But they're just They like to pick on each other. So I mean, that's, if you watch my Instagram stories, all it is Carl and Lucy, Carl and Lucy, Carl and Lucy, Carl and Lucy.
I know. People get mad at me when it's just cats. And mm-hmm. Fuck them. Whatever.
But they're funny but because literally they have like the biggest personalities. Mm-hmm. He just...
My cats are more interesting than any of my friends.
Well, yeah. Definitely. Carl. Yeah. I it's really bad. I like talk to people. Like Carl said this. That's really... It's really kind of weird. But. Yeah.
Raven wants to know, what is your choice of oil for Subaru engines, Sally?
My choice, I use Motul, the 300V. Mm. It's like a motorsport grade oil. Love it.
Do you have a Subaru daily driver also?
I do have an SCI.
What do you put in that?
Actually, I work at a dealership, so what the dealership has.
What dealer do you work at?
I work for Camelback Volkswagen.
Oh.
So... That's why I know about Volkswagen. So
they, of course, have Subaru spec oil. Yes.
Actually, we have like three dealers.
Oh, okay.
And one is a Subaru.
Oh, brilliant.
It's like right across the street.
Brilliant. Are you still parts manager?
I'm a service writer.
Oh.
Yeah.
I take a lot of shit from people.
I have a real job.
Hey, man. So does almost everybody.
Yeah. So, yeah. Everybody's like, oh, yeah, it must be nice to be a race car driver. Yeah, whatever.
Right. Yeah, I know. It's like there's 1% of the racing community that doesn't also have a job.
Really?
Even like proper pros have jobs.
Oh, yeah. You got to have a job. Yeah. I mean, like, look at Michael Issa. He has a shop.
He has, yeah.
Yeah.
Either you have a shop or you're an instructor. You know, I know a lot of, quote, pro drivers that are spend 80% of their time instructing other people for money.
Yeah. You have to. You gotta live.
Yeah. If you ever wanted to bail out of that, though, you could go PEC 100%.
Where?
Porsche Experience Center. They hire racing drivers
to
be instructors.
I've already been told that. And yeah. I'm like, oh.
Well, they love hiring women instructors. That's like a thing that they're really into.
If you're listening to my email address.
Do you want to make an? I can make you an intro in 2 seconds.
Yes, please.
Oh, okay. I didn't know you were down. I'll make you an intro. If you want to teach at PEC, I could probably make it happen.
I would love to.
Oh, after the show, I'll make you an intro. No problem. Yeah, easy. All right, Motul oil. Gotcha. I got you, Sally. You're my fucking homie. I got you.
Dang.
What are my preferred shoes to drive? I actually like driving in my New Balances. I hate racing shoes.
Dude, they're very uncomfortable. They are not made for comfort.
They're meant for driving formula cars. They're meant to make your feet as narrow as they can be. Like, I don't heel and... Do you heel and toe with your heel and your toe?
Okay, so I have a really small foot. Okay.
So do you have custom pedals or something?
Yeah, I have a pedal extension.
Does it go off the gas? It brings the gas closer to the brake?
Yeah. Yes. So I have like a size 6 to 6.5 woman's foot.
That's a little foot.
Yeah. I wear like a 4.5 in boys.
That's a little foot.
I like Air Force Ones, so I get really cheap ones in 4.5.
Oh, you get the kids ones. Hell
they're
yeah.
They're like $20.
Yeah.
but it's really hard. I had to get a pedal extension on my gas pedal. Mm-hmm. And so I taught myself I don't put my entire foot on the brake pedal.
Mm. Just the ball of your foot?
Just only like half the side of my foot. So then I can hit it with the heel of my foot, which is, I tried to do it to the side of my foot, but it just falls in between the cracks.
If you have little feet, that won't work.
I literally have to like move my entire foot.
That's a challenge. I have big Breadlow feet, so I do left side, right side.
You get the easy
one. Well, it's easy until it's not. You know, it's left side, right side, but if but if I have to wear driving shoes, like in the endurance races and stuff, then I have to do the actual, and I hate that shit.
And those shoes are made for that, too.
Sucks. Someone needs to make this big Breadloaf New Balance in Nomex. I'll just wear that shit. Yeah.
I think Puma came out with some motorsport stuff.
They do.
I can't find it anywhere, though.
The DC, the Ken Block shoes, the DC ones, uh-huh, are a little wider than most driving shoes.
Oh, really?
Too. Yeah. Those are all right.
I have some shoes right now, and they are falling apart. But
it's on the shelf.
It's so hard to find a shoe in my size.
I can imagine.
Dude, I have.
They don't have. There's no kids Nomex. It's like a karting shoe you can get. It's for like a kid.
You don't have a kid suit.
You probably could. Do you do? Of course you do. I mean, they make women's suits, don't they?
Yeah, but they're all big. I have to get an extra small in Sparco.
No one has thought, like, oh, women are smaller than men. Maybe we should make these women's suits a little smaller.
Dude, they literally make them for super tall people.
That's
and, like,
so dumb.
Then I just have like 4 inches too long on the pants.
Do you have to bring them to a tailor? Like, Juan, can you?
I was able to find like one suit that actually fits. I'm like, oh, that's as good.
You have to go made to measure. Full custom.
Dude.
Full custom. Can I invite Corey Haas for the podcast? Corey is my homie and has an unlimited open invite when he's in LA, but he's never in LA. He doesn't come west very often. And is that your Marcos?
That's my boyfriend.
Oh, yeah. Your boyfriend. Hey, thanks for the donation, Marcos. I would love to come out and cover Super Lap Battle. As they say in Wayne's World 2, if you book them, they will come.
Oh, right.
Yep. Colin says, thank you for the podcast. And oh, here we go. Nick says, my roommate has size 4 buy shoes from China.
Oh.
There it is. Tap the Asian shoe market.
You know, I have Chinese friends.
That's racist.
Well, no.
I'm not kidding. I'm just kidding.
He's totally cool with that, though.
That's a good tip. Thank you very much, Nick.
Yes.
All right, I'm going to close the super chat down. Thank you guys for playing live. That was a good show. Snail Performance Sally on Instagram.
That's me.
Come see her race live at Super Lap Battle at Buttonwillow.
Yes.
November 8th and 9th.
That's right.
Follow her on Instagram. And you want to plug anything else? IAG?
IAG, they do fan. If you're a Subaru fan or you're looking to get a Subaru or you're thinking about building a Subaru, just hit them up.
Billet Block. This is what you need to know. That's what it's about right there. Someone is spending way too much money on a Subaru in this picture.
Right. Or if you are in Arizona or in the NorCal area, you can hit up Snail Performance and they sell all IAG Performance parts. And we also tune cars. So we have a tune shop in Arizona and we have one in Northern California.
Where in Northern California is it?
Sacramento.
Oh, okay, cool.
It's out of... Well, M45 shop.
Okay.
So just hit up Snail Performance or Snail Performance AZ on Instagram, either one of them, and they can help you if you are in the area. I have lots of people who help me. I love everybody. Stop Tech Brakes, Competition Clutch,
Pressure. I'm going to put the Oscars music on you pretty soon.
You know the thing that I really, 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 really want people to realize is Nexen Tire.
What about them?
Everybody in Street Class. Street Class is pretty competitive. If you've noticed the times on them, a lot of people run Bridgestone tires and they run the
RE71s. Yeah.
Which is a great tire. Don't get me wrong.
Those tires are sticky.
They're sticky, but I think a lot of people are afraid to like venture out because street tires are expensive. Mm. To get a set of tires, it's probably like $1,100.
Right.
And so if somebody's going out and doing track days and trying to be fast, they don't really want to take a chance on $1,100 to see and try out another set of tires to see if they're just as fast.
Yeah.
The Nexen Tire, the SUR4G, I've been using them all year. And I've been going faster than a lot of people.
Really?
Than other all right. Tires.
I'll give Nexen Tires a chance.
So I'll give Nexen
Tires
a chance.
Yeah, that's a good plug.
That's definitely something that I definitely wanted to like plug out there.
So. Cool. Dude, thanks for coming in.
No, thank you.
Worth me getting up on a Saturday.
Thank you
for
so
sure.
Much.
Thank you guys who watch live. Thank you for everyone who does not watch live. leave us a review on iTunes. It really helps us keep us high in the rankings. Last week I checked of the top 10 automotive podcast episodes downloaded last week, The Smoking Tire had 8 of them.
No way.
Yes, we had 8 of the top 10 car episodes downloaded. So in terms of iTunes rankings, we're number 2. Car Talk is number 1. Remember NPR Car Talk? Click and clack. When they retired, they uploaded 3,000 episodes as podcasts. So we will never pass them. There's no way anyone could ever pass them. So for all intents and purposes, Smoking Tire Podcast is the number one podcast.
That's number one.
It's really number 2, but there's just no way. Well, we're fucked with that. But
yeah, that's kind of not unfair.
By episode, if you do stats by episode, we are number 1. We have the most downloaded episodes per week, which is fucking fire. So thank you all for listening, watching, all that bullshit. Smoking Tire Podcast is powered by Shout Engine. Get your own damn podcast at shoutengine.com. It's easy. It takes 5 minutes to sign up. All you need is a microphone, something to say, and a connection to the internet. Thank you, kids. I see you later. Goodbye.
Bye.